This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my
See Live off the record with Chicago Line is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Commonwealth Building Supplies, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and World Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. I have a very special guest today with some special information that I want to share with all of you. But we're gonna take a break, producer, and when we come back, I'm gonna introduce this very special guest. Listen, if you have young people who are looking to study, find a way to go off to school, particularly if they're looking to study in, say, Switzerland, you want to listen up. So we're gonna take a break, and then we'll be back after this break. Okay.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
demon. I'm manning up, I'ma hold my ground. I've had enough, now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back together.
From off the wall, give that baby back its ball. Leave other people's things alone. There's other ways to get involved. Get involved, get involved. Don't be no fool, stay in school. Let your mind become a tool. Church were made for fools to be. Locked away from society, society. Get involved, get involved.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I want you all to know I really made a special effort to get here today, and I'm so sorry that we started a little late, but it was a push, but it's worth it. Okay, and so I'm glad we can do this today. If you want to give us a call at any point, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So, had a very interesting meeting yesterday about an opportunity. Listen, where folk are trying to make sure people get the information to get and take advantage of this opportunity. Excellent opportunity. And so I have with me today Dr. Pandora Johnson, of the University of the Bahamas, my colleague. And also, I have with us today Dr. Urs Aubriest, I believe. If I didn't do that right, I'm sure Dr. Johnson is going to do it properly. And he's the Senior Science and Technology Consular Officer at the Embassy of Switzerland in Canada. Okay? I've had a number of occasions to travel to Switzerland, very dynamic, organized, generous place. And there are opportunities for you Bahamians to go and advance your education. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Dr. Johnson. Welcome, Dr. Obrist.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon. This is Urs. Can you hear us?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you. We can hear you.
Thank you.
Okay. And so we met yesterday. We had some discussions yesterday. Maybe Dr. Johnson, you can put this in some context for us, because I know you've been in this business of dealing with all these various places that connect to the university with a view to providing opportunities that flow both ways. So maybe you can give us some context.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Lang. You know, we can always count on you to be an advocate for anything that is beneficial for this country, particularly for the young people of this country. So I really want to say kudos to you for all of your efforts in causing exposure for opportunities to be so widespread, in, you know, by using your airwaves. So yes, as you said, we have with us this evening, this afternoon, somebody from the embassy, the Swiss embassy, which is in Canada. But what is interesting, and this is partly the reason why he is here, is that the embassy in Canada, the Swiss embassy in Canada, is also responsible for the Bahamas. And he will tell you a little bit more about that when he speaks. But he's here as part of a mission, his personal mission, to ensure that persons in the Bahamas are made aware of some scholarship grant opportunities being offered by the Swiss government that Bahamians can take advantage of. He says to us that part of the reason he came was that he became aware that these scholarship grant opportunities were available for Bahamians. But no Bahamian, save one, many years ago, were accessing these grants. And he figured that maybe they are not doing so because they are not aware of it. And so that is the context. That is why he's here. And we're delighted, really, that Mr. Lang so generously offered to give him a stage this afternoon where he can reach an even broader cross-section of the community. He has been meeting with, he visited BTVI. He's obviously been to several of the departments at UB. And so now he is coming to speak more generally to the wider population, the persons who may not now be involved with UB or with BTVI. So I'm going to turn it over to him, or maybe Mr. Lang, you want to maybe frame, I suppose, the way forward?
Only before he speaks, just to say, you know, I remember when I was trying to go off to school, and I remember how the issue for me was, and I had told my mother this before I graduated, was where was I going to get the money from? Well, how was I going to make this happen? And I knew that if I didn't get a scholarship, it wasn't going to happen. And I am thankful to God to this day for the Pilot Club of the Grand Bahama and the American Women's Club in Grand Bahama that put together to get me to COB. And then the Tomlinson Foundation that made it possible for me to study in Canada. And that's how I was able to get it done in the first instance. And so I know that there are young people out there looking for an opportunity. And this is one. This isn't a fantasy. This is opportunity looking for recipients, not the other way around. Okay. So Dr. Obrist, please, and if pronounce it properly for me I didn't do it. But please talk to us about what this opportunity is.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lang, and also Pandora here. at the campus of the University of the Bahamas. It's such a big honor to be here and speaking to you over the radio. Actually, I had not planned that, but sometimes serendipity hits, and hopefully for some Bahamian students and interested researchers, serendipity hits as well when they hear about the opportunity of this special research scholarship program that Switzerland offers. Maybe to frame it a little bit, so I'm the Senior Science and Technology Counselor at the Embassy of Switzerland in Canada. And as you correctly pointed out, this embassy up north is also responsible for this lovely land and country that is the Bahamas. I always joke that it's probably for the ambassador who has to endure a cold, cold winter up in Canada, a little cherry on the cake to be also responsible for the Bahamas and to escape here as part of their working duty. It's my first visit to the Bahamas, and I really enjoyed the hospitality that was provided me here, particularly around the University of Bahamas campuses. And the people I've met so far have been very engaging, and we had a very interesting conversation yesterday with the Minister of Education, Glenys Hannah-Martin. And already there, we saw some opportunity to continue the conversation. So there's a lot of follow-up work to do. But one of the points, and I'm really glad to get this platform, one of the points of my mission on behalf of the Embassy of Switzerland is to present you the opportunities that arise out of a program that's called Swiss Government Excellence Scholarships for Foreign Students. This is a program that's offered to over 180 countries around the world, and the Bahamas is one of those countries. But as was indicated, I noticed over the course of the past 10, 20 years, nobody from the Bahamas really took use of this scholarship opportunity. And when we did some investigation, we figured the key for that is that there is no awareness in the Bahamas about the opportunity of this. And as I found out just today, actually, the website of the Foreign Ministry of the Bahamas does not list this program either. And so we'll make sure that this will go online as quickly as possible as well. Because, as I said, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. The program has kind of free access to it. It's geared towards students who have already graduated with a master's degree. It's geared to students who want to pursue either a research fellowship, a doctoral studies program, or a postdoctoral research stay in Switzerland. I can explain briefly what the core elements of those three aspects are. Generally speaking, the candidate would have to identify a university he or she wants to work with in Switzerland. They would have to identify a professor who would be willing to act as a supervisor and basically take the student under their wings. And they would have to submit a research proposal and the whole application package within a reasonably short framework time from here onwards. But I think, as came out of the conversations, even if it doesn't work out with this year's application circle, it will be available next year again. And so once people have a bit more knowledge of it and get themselves the time to do the initial research work to identify a Swiss institution and a Swiss professor to work with, I'm sure in the next cycle that will be also a fantastic opportunity. What does it look like? So in brief, the research fellowships are paid. They pay about 1,920 Swiss francs, which is more or less the same in US or Bahamian dollars per month. So over the course of a year, that's close to $24,000. And it also pays for health insurance, which is mandatory in Switzerland. And it also gives a small stipend for a transfer back from Switzerland to the Bahamas. The program
Now, just before you move a little further, because I know that many Bahamians set their context of affordability for education in the United States, they might look at those numbers and say, but that's not a lot because they're going to pay to study in the United States. But you did a brilliant job explaining to us why that's more than adequate.
Yeah, so in Switzerland, there's two elements to it. The universities in Switzerland generally do not charge high tuition fees. To give you an example, Switzerland has 7 universities amongst the top 200 universities in the world. And amongst them, in the top 50, there's ETH Zurich, which charges less than $1,500 per year. So $1,500 tuition fee per year. Similar.
That's not $1,500 per month. That's $1,500 per year.
Correct. Yeah. And when I raise these numbers, I raise a lot of eyebrows as well, because people say, how is this even possible? So the background here is the Swiss government has an interest in supporting education, research and innovation, because as we say, the only natural resource we have in Switzerland is gray matter. We do not have oil fields. We do not have major rare earths or any kind of other major natural resources that we could deal with. So intellectual work, brain work, that's our natural resource. And hence the government puts in a lot of money into education on all levels, not just the university level, also primary and secondary. And that's basically the idea why the tuition fees are that low. The other idea, obviously, is to make sure that access is possible for every able candidate to go and study at the university level. And so that's one aspect to it. The second aspect that you ask for is the living costs. So obviously, when the government gives out a scholarship of that nature, the government of Switzerland wants to make sure that the students are comfortable in Switzerland. So they will not starve. They will not be living under a bridge, so to speak. This money will be sufficient to pay for accommodation, to pay for food, also for some extra incidental costs like transportation, maybe an occasional trip or something, depending on the living arrangements. But a lot of students in Switzerland, for example, they share accommodation with students who are in the same program. And so by sharing an apartment, living costs, for example, would be around 500-600 Swiss francs per month. And so there's still lots of money left for food, clothing, and so forth. So that's, I think that's really key to understand. And I'm glad you asked the question with regards to tuition fees. I understand the American or North American academic system and the high costs connected therewith. So that's really a key point to understand. In Switzerland, tuition fees are, I wouldn't say negligible, but they're really, really minor in terms of overall cost for a student.
Also, to make sure people understand, so let's just say you're a Bahamian student at the University of the Bahamas, you've finished, you have your first degree, you're interested in graduate work, you are a Bahamian student, you did your bachelor's in the United States or somewhere else, and you're interested in graduate studies, or you're a Bahamian student with a master's degree, haven't done some graduate studies, but you're interested in getting your PhD, or you're a Bahamian student, Bahamian with a PhD, and you're interested in doing some post-doctoral work, all of these people are eligible for this scholarship.
Yeah, so basically you have to have a master's degree already in hand.
Okay. Yeah. So not the bachelor's.
No, it's not for undergraduate students, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. So you have to have a master's to enter this program. Okay.
And it doesn't matter where you got your master's from. I mean, a recognized international institution, I understand, or I came to learn while being here, that a lot of Bahamians actually go to Canada and study there, or to the US, get a master's degree there. That's absolutely fine. As I said, as long as it's a recognized institution, and as long as it's a Bahamian citizen who applies for this Swiss Government Excellence Scholarship, this is not a problem. I think,
So all of those educators out there, maybe with masters, maybe some of the folks at the university with masters, some of the folks who are up their MBAs, et cetera, and mm-hmm. looking to advance their education to the level of PhD. Otherwise, these are the people who get to take advantage of this program.
That's correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were explaining further about it?
Yeah, so we talked about the research fellowships, which are kind of geared towards people who have finished their master's degree already. Then we have doctoral fellowships. So let's say somebody wants to do a PhD and they're accepted at a research institute in the Bahamas, which may or may not have, or in any institution, which may or may not include a research stint in Switzerland, that's a possibility there. So whatever the research focus is, and I can emphasize this, the program is open to all fields. So it can be humanities, it can be natural sciences, that's really open for all fields. So if the key component of a PhD student is research to be done in Switzerland, and I will explain what kind of institutions that can be considered for this, this is possible.
Just before you go there, we have a text from somebody says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, is there an age limit, et cetera? I am 63 years old, I'm an adjunct professor, and I have an MBA.
Yeah, yes, indeed, there is an age limit. So it's for people born after 1987. So 35 years and younger would be the people qualifying.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, it does not apply for everybody.
Good question.
Yeah.
Very good question, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we now know who is eligible for the program. And now they have to look at institutions. So you want to talk about that? And you showed us yesterday. You brought a lot of brochures back.
Yes, yeah. It's maybe here to open up the frame a little bit. So in Switzerland, we have 12 universities, which we call research intensive universities. So if you're familiar with the United States system, this would be up along the line of a University of Connecticut or Harvard University or Notre Dame or Stanford. So these kind of institutions, there's 12 of them in Switzerland. Then we have eight universities that we call universities of applied sciences. Historically, as the name says, they come more from the applied side of work and have now tended to go more towards research as well. And the third group is called the Universities of Teacher Education. Like in North America, most universities will offer a Bachelor of Education program within the universities. We have a separate entity of Universities of Teacher Education that basically form the next generation teachers for primary and secondary school teachers. And so those are the three levels that we distinguish in Switzerland.
And Go ahead.
So for somebody who wants to do a PhD, the first group of 12 universities is the one to look at. The research fellowships, they are open for the other two segments as well. And so there, again, it's really the key for a candidate to do their own research, identify the best fitting institution, and take it from there, basically prepare the research proposal and find a professor that obviously is in their area of interest and will benefit, and I think we can say mutually benefit each other to do the research work in that specific field. When I say research institutions, there's a group of research institutes that are kind of connected or affiliated with universities. And for example, there we have a graduate institute of international and development studies, or the research institutes of the so-called ETH domain, which are, for example, specialized in material science or in water science or in forest and snow and landscape sciences. So again, it's really the matter of which aspect of your research would best fit with which institution in Switzerland. For the research fellowships and the postdoctoral only scholarships, we have the set of universities of applied sciences, as I mentioned, they're kind of regionally organized. And there's also the universities of teacher education that would fit into this, these two groups. So if you want to do a PhD, stick with the group of the 12 research intensive universities. If you want to do a research fellowship or a postdoc, you can do that at the first 12 as well. But for only research fellowships and only postdoctoral students, also these universities of applied sciences come into play as potential host institution.
We have to take a break, Dr. Obrist, but when we come back, besides giving some additional information, Dr. Johnson, what I would like us to do is to talk about what a huge opportunity being able to fund research scholarships for the Bahamas is, because I think you and I agree that we are one of the most understudied countries that we are aware of, and part of that is we're not doing that research ourselves, right? So when we come back, let's talk about that and why this is important, because there are lots of people who listen and say, well, you know, that's not me, that's not appropriate for me, I don't even have a bachelor's. But for the country, this could be a real opportunity. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor. Drive to Bay Street to get a home quote. Swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns, like 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been
can't
down the same
road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, where we are speaking with Dr. Pandora Johnson of the University of the Bahamas and Senior Science and Technology Counselor at the Embassy of Switzerland in Canada, Dr. Urs Obrist, and we're talking about some postgraduate scholarship opportunities. Listen, Switzerland is a unique place, right? It's definitely, the environment is really unique. And of course, it is one of those places where the international community, the multilateral community, has decided to headquarter many of its organizations. For instance, the WTO, the UN has offices there. When I was chief negotiator for the World Trade Organization, I would have to go and do some of those negotiations there in Switzerland. It's an international place. Mm-hmm. It's a place where if you have opportunity to study, to live and interact, the exposure is just global. It's not just a local cultural experience. It's a global experience. Is that right, Dr. Aubrey?
Yeah, completely agree. Thank you very much for actually pointing that out. Swiss people tend to be a little bit shy about bragging what they do. But nowadays, yes, it's true. It's next to New York. It's one of the key hubs for United Nations sub-organizations. And not only that, obviously, one of the major research facilities of the world, the CERN, with the Large Hadron Collider, is based in Geneva. And there's many international organizations in and around Geneva, as you mentioned, WTO, International Labour Organizations. There's many others there as well. And Switzerland is in the heart of Europe. It's easy to get to Paris, to Rome, mm-hmm. to Berlin within a very short time frame.
By plane or train?
mostly by train, actually. We're very proud of our public transit system. And so it's easy to get around, and the trains run fairly regularly. Basically, once an hour, you have a train within Switzerland to go to places.
What I also found fascinating was, this was in Geneva, how relatively safe it was to move about practically at all hours, and that, at least for me, it's a place where it doesn't seem difficult to assimilate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's one of the key draws. I mean, criminality rates in Switzerland, or crime rates in Switzerland, are very low. There's no problem for you walking around at 2 a.m. in the core of the city. It's absolutely nice. I mean, we have occasional crimes mm-hmm. that happens everywhere, but in the larger scheme of things, it is very peaceful. And obviously, Switzerland's neutrality has been a draw to bring people together in Geneva. Right now, there's also a big movement to bring Geneva into the focus of international science diplomacy. And that's, for example, one of the work files that I'm involved in, to see how science and diplomacy interact in these days. Just to give you an example, when we talk about climate change, we need scientists to give us the data to demonstrate what's happening out there in the world. But then when it comes to measures to respond to the challenges of climate change, we need international cooperation, we need diplomacy. So there's a strong link between science and diplomacy. So in some areas, it's science that helps for diplomacy. It's sometimes always also the other way around, that diplomacy is there to help science. And in that regard, one of the key areas where we found cooperation opportunities between Switzerland and the Bahamas was exactly the question of climate change, because it affects, obviously, here the Bahamas, as we've seen with Nicole and Dorian in the years past, everybody, straightforward. But in Switzerland, we have the same issue with the melting glaciers, the challenge of permafrost melting that leads to instability in the mountains, that leads to destruction of infrastructure high up in the Alps. So it affects everybody one way or another. And so in this area, we have identified in my conversations with the University of the Bahamas some mutual interests. Also questions like clean tech, what measures can be taken to be more sustainable, built sustainable, for example, have efficient urban transit systems, have sustainable buildings. There's a lot of opportunity in that. And I think part and parcel of my visit here to the Bahamas was actually to see in what areas are there the best overlaps of mutual interests. And these tools that I've mentioned are certainly within those. There's others as well, if you don't mind me expanding on those. We've also talked about international trade, commerce, business programs. questions of fintech, sustainable finance is another aspect where Switzerland is a leader, and tourism. Obviously, it's different kinds of tourisms that are of relevance for the Bahamas, just given the geographical surroundings and Switzerland. But after COVID, I think there's a lot to be discussed on how to resume sustainable tourism, for example, or change ways tourism is dealt with in the long run. So just to give these as examples of what the conversations have been about, they were not exclusively on the research side, I can say that. I had a very informative meeting with the Minister of Education, as I already said, and there we talked about professional education and training. And I had a chance to visit the campus today of the Bahamian School for Vocational Training. And there again, we understand it's helpful to speak with each other, to exchange best practices. And who knows, maybe we'll follow through with the idea that came up already yesterday to have a delegation of the Bahamas come to Switzerland and learn about the Swiss way of doing apprenticeship programs and vocational and professional education and training.
So if somebody is 35 years old,
yep,
or younger, has a master's degree, mm-hmm, is interested in pursuing some research toward a doctoral degree or something,
mm-hmm,
how do they begin the process of securing one of these scholarships?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have limited time here on the radio show, but the first step certainly would be to go to the website of the SCAS, as we call it, the Swiss Government Excellence Research Scholarship. You can basically just Google that with the title. I repeat it just to make sure everybody understands it. So it's the Swiss Government Excellence Scholarships for Foreign Students. The website or the internet would be www.sbfi.admin.ch /scholarships_ENG. If you didn't manage to write that down, again, just do a keyword search for Swiss Government Excellence Scholarships for Foreign Students, and it will pop up there. If not, you can contact me at the Embassy of Switzerland in Canada. The address there is Ottawa, so the capital of Canada, Ottawa, O-T-T-A-W-A, at EDA, that's Echo Delta Alpha, .admin.ch, Charlie Hotel. So Ottawa at EDA.admin.ch. And just in the header, write SCAS, E-S-K-A-S, and the mail will get to my desk, and I can provide the links there.
Dr. Johnson, why is it important for us to have more and more Bahamians go off and get these, do this research, get this doctorate degree? Because, you know, I mean, some people get a little stuffy about these things, you know, your doctorate, what does that mean, you know? But professional scholarship means something. Why is it important?
Well, you know, Mr. Lang, the reality is that for too long, you know, we perhaps have been trying to operate by the seat of our pants. We have a lot of, you know, sort of anecdotal information. But research actually requires you to engage in some empirical investigation. And it is through those kinds of means that we begin to advance knowledge. You know, the responsibility of anyone in the university really is to be engaging in exercises that will help to grow knowledge and expand on finding new ways of doing things. So what this opportunity now presents to us as a population is an opportunity really for us to learn more about our own country. You know, Mr. Lang suggested that the country is under study. But the interesting thing is that, and this is the rub, the studies that have been done on this country are largely done by non-nationals. What we are trying to promote, and this is why it's important, is it is important for our nationals to be engaging in this discovery of more about this country. That's what research, these research opportunities enable us to do. And particularly those of us who are in education, this research is important.
Yeah, because you can answer questions like, what are the factors impacting learning outcomes of farmers? You can answer questions like, do illegal Haitian immigrants actually impact the fiscal and economic realities of the Bahamas? And to what degree? You might be able to answer the question, does Bajorino really, really help you when you're sick?
Good question. what are the chemical kinds of attributes that may be in Bajorino that people outside of the country may in fact be investigating and creating maybe some solutions in the form of pharmaceuticals that they then sell back to us. Mm-hmm. So so you put your finger on really the essence of why research is important. You know, I have heard, and I don't know whether this has been further substantiated, but it is said that CERC really has some impact on curing or dealing with cancer. Now, that's a question. That is a question that we ought to be investigating. And to the extent that if it is found to be true, we need to isolate what are the chemical kinds of attributes that you now extract, right, and you kind of make a kind of synthetic drug based on that genetic kind of characteristic that you got out of the surrogacy. We don't know if that's the case, but we do know that bush medicine is actually something that people from the outside come into the country and they investigate.
We are out of time for this segment. We have to take a break for news. If you want to stay, I'm not chasing you. You can talk some more about it.
Happy to do so.
Well, you know, I'm
not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. Walk this road together.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are talking with Dr. Pandora Johnson of the University of the Bahamas and Dr. Urs Aubriest from the Swiss Embassy in Canada about scholarship posts. Graduate scholarships or graduates research scholarships available for Bahamians, much of which have not been over some years now, taken advantage of. Dr. Johnson, you wanted to add a comment or so on the relevance of the local PhD researchers again?
IRS has actually brought to our attention some interesting investigations being going on by Bahamians, and he has an article. Yep. I'm going to let him talk about that.
Yeah. So as I was preparing my visit here to the Bahamas, the leading Canadian newspaper, it's called The Globe and Mail, mm-hmm. had an article entitled Why This Climate Scientist is Worried the Bahamas Will Not Exist in 50 Years. And I thought, wow, this is quite a scary title to begin. Came right around the time of Hurricane Nicole. And so obviously I was interested to read mm-hmm. about this article. And as it turns out, and you talked about the relevance of having domestic Bahamian researchers do the work in this regard. It is a tropical storm expert. Her name is Marjan Finlayson, who is here in New Providence and does research on oceanography. And so that to me was exactly the best example. You have somebody who, and right now we talk about COP27, the Global Climate Conference around the corner, how it is important to have the local knowledge, experts mm-hmm. on the spot who know the lay of the land here and who can speak to the relevance of the knowledge that's important to apply here, obviously, specifically to the topic of climate change, questions of how do you mitigate that, for example, with mangrove planting and whatnot. And so that's exactly the point. And so reading in a Canadian newspaper from a Bahamian researcher about the issues Bahamas are faced with is exactly the relevance why every country needs their local researchers who know what's going on the ground, and they will be listened to because obviously fellow Bahamians will recognize the person. She's I think working in Eleuthera. Do I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, Eleuthera. Yes, yeah. Yes. I think she's with the island school.
Yeah, and so in that respect, that's exactly what you need. You need to train your own experts because you have the home field advantage, so to speak. You know, as I said, lay of the land. And what I argue for is this is the one element that's worthwhile and really worthy to have. And the second element is the international global exchange. Science endeavors nowadays, research endeavors, are global endeavors. Mm-hmm. So you exchange ideas. Climate change does not stop at the borders of Switzerland or at the borders of the Bahamas. It's a global endeavor. And so exchanging ideas, exchanging research results, Switzerland is a strong proponent of open science, is the name of the game. And so it's worthwhile to work towards global exchanges, and in this particular case for researchers. And that's why I think a research fellowship or a research scholarship, such as the one I'm talking about today, are exactly what the Bahamians should be looking for, and any other international student, obviously, as well. But my job is obviously, given that our embassy is responsible for the Bahamas, to see how we can enhance the collaboration between the Bahamas and Switzerland. And my job at the embassy is exactly that.
Dr. Johnson, maybe yesterday was a good time to mention this, but maybe you can speak to it, and maybe it prompt Brother Erst to do something, because mm-hmm. I know he's an advocate and he wants to get things done in this regard. Mm-hmm. Small populations like ours tend to have graduates, people with master's degrees, at a little old age than 85. Some of them have but by the time they get that, they get into their family life and boom. So mm-hmm. I don't know the extent to which maybe considering up in the age of 40, 50, might get capture more people. I don't know. What do you think?
No, you're quite right. You know, a lot of this has to do with persons having opportunities at a kind of an earlier age. Mm. You know, we tend to forget that this business of, let's say, I'm going to call it the massification of tertiary education in the Bahamas, that's a recent phenomenon. Mm-hmm. In fact, it wasn't until 1993 that we moved the school leaving age from 14 to 16, which meant by that we then had universal secondary education. It didn't mean that before that we didn't have secondary education. But what it meant was that at that point, whereas before a person, once they reached the age of 14, could have left school without any kind of legal impediment, since 1993, they can't do that anymore. And so, the opportunity then for people to go and pursue tertiary education was not as available in this country as it would have been, let's say, in the old countries. And so with the advent of the College of the Bahamas in 1973-74, you then began to have more persons being able to access tertiary education. And so that tertiary education then, what it meant was that we had really, it was almost like an elitist population prior to being able to go to COB. So it is no accident that our persons would have been pursuing undergraduate degrees much later than maybe populations in the old countries and even in the US. So it, for countries like ours, where persons would have been accessing tertiary education later, it would be more beneficial if these opportunities would be available to persons who may be a little bit more senior than persons who were born in 1987?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think if it were possible, I don't know whether the Swiss embassy could negotiate this and see if there at some time, maybe in the not too distant future, we could have maybe that age limit being raised.
Okay.
hey, I'm just pushing, bro. Just pushing.
Yeah. I'll take the message with me. We don't have the authority over the fellowship.
It's in
a different ministry.
Yeah. The other thing is somebody called me actually offline to say, you know, and you mentioned this yesterday, is lots of people need to know that the courses of studies that they can be undertaken in English.
Yes, yes. So as I mentioned, science is a global endeavor nowadays, and the scientific language for most part is English. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the universities, also the universities of applied sciences provide full courses or full programs even taught in English. And so it's geared towards an international audience, international student audience. And in most of the places, the lab conversations are in English. Just to give you an example, the EPFL, which is a technical university in Lausanne, has more than 50% faculty that are not from Switzerland. And so you have to find some sort of lingua franca, and rather than French, it's actually English that people communicate with. The same holds true for international research facilities such as CERN that I've mentioned in Geneva. It's just the way things go. So obviously also for researchers, you want to be published in the most recognized English-speaking journals. So that plays into that as well. But overall, I think as an English speaker, you are comfortable moving around in Switzerland. Most people will be able to have a conversation with you, even if they're not in the academic environment, depending on the area. Yeah.
That was my experience for sure. And also, one of the things that's true is people here in the Bahamas gravitate to a United States, gravitate to a Canada, gravitates to a UE in Jamaica or Barbados or something, because there are really cultural familiarity mm-hmm. with those environments, especially because they are English speaking, and then in the Caribbean, there's the Caribbean. But as I indicated earlier, and you may want to just again emphasize, the fact is that in, say, Geneva, and I imagine other spaces where international finance and international diplomacy is the rule of the day, like, it's hard to think of Switzerland as a strange cultural environment, because you do really have the world that's convening in that space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's not by coincidence that, for example, Google or Facebook set up their headquarters for Europe in Switzerland. There's a huge IBM research facility also in Switzerland. CERN in Geneva, I already mentioned that. It's a very, very international place. It's not well known, but about a quarter of the population of Switzerland does not hold a Swiss passport. So it's a global community, certainly around Geneva. You have people from all over the world by way of the United Nations being there, but also the other major cities like Zurich or Basel will have a lot of international color to it. And so I think a person from the Bahamas will feel fine being over there. I mean, you may not find your most favorite conch fritters over there, but maybe you can bring them over there.
Yeah, carry them frozen. So you've got your tuition paid, you've got housing provision, you've got a stipend, you've got health insurance, you've got some support toward your flight back, and all of this as a part of this scholarship program, an opportunity where you conduct relevant research and obtain a PhD or do postdoctoral work. I like, what's not to want about that?
Yeah, and for the postdoc, I might add there, the fellowship is actually $3,500 or Swiss francs per month. So this will really allow a focus on academic research. The idea is really basically to let a successful applicant do their research with a clear focus on their work. I mean, it's intensive work, as you know. On the postdoctoral level, we're looking at early career scientists who, after their PhD, are trying to bring out the next big thing. And so the idea is really to let that research happen and not be distracted by financial concerns or anything.
Well, I know you folks have a busy schedule and not much more to do. And thank you so very much for taking time out to share this important information. And hopefully you'll get an uptick in applications and interest. And we appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Also, on behalf of the Embassy of Switzerland in Canada, responsible for the Bahamas, it's been a very great pleasure to be here in Nassau and get to know land and people. And yes, feel free to contact us at the Embassy of Switzerland in Canada if you have further questions or need clarifications about this scholarship program or any other question about Switzerland. We are here to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. Always a pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibagwa Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a question for you. I don't know if you're ready for this. You know what they say, you can't handle the truth? Well, let's see. When we come back, we'll be back after this break.
Great.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business.
Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns, like 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Ulang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So I have a question for you all. I don't know. We may not carry this on tomorrow even, but I had to ask this question because this is what I had proposed to do today. Right. Why do lies endure so long? Right. Like, I notice in the political space, right? Not just here in the Bahamas, but in the United States of America and Germany and other places in the world and the UK, you know, and lots of all the countries. I can name almost all of them, right? Like a certain lies can be told, and they are lies. I don't mean that they are mistakes or errors. I mean, like, people profit them to really, they know they ain't telling the truth, right? But they get out there and they endure, right? Whether it's some business person doing some mega enterprise or some politician trying to get in office or some politician trying to stay in office, like, or some spouse or child or friend or neighbor. Like, people tell lies and the lies endure, right? Now, I noticed that I can't remember who it was who said, he said, no lie can live forever. But he never said no lie could live for a long time. He said it can't live forever. Why do lies endure so long? Like it's sometimes I'm almost stunned how in the face of the obvious, lies just can't persist. They just literally can't persist. And you can have the most educated people on planet Earth who soak up these lies. I don't want to give no political examples of lies. Let's just say. So help me. Help me. Why do lies live forever? For so long? Why do they endure? Like, why is lying itself such a commonly practiced practice? right? Why? Anybody want to venture an answer for me? Say lies last long because it's sweet to the air. The truth is normally a bitter pill to swallow. I hear you. This person says, lies persist because in all the world there are only two things, truth and falsehood. And falsehood is that which seems to be. Truth doesn't change, but falsehood always changes. I don't know if that gave me an answer. So I'll give you an example. Long time ago, I met a woman. She thought I was the richest man in the world. I keep it up for about 3 Why though? I mean, seriously, like, why do lies endure for so long? Like, lies are literally changing political landscapes all over the world. I mean, I remember when I was active in frontline politics, like I heard so many lies. I mean, literally, I heard lies told about myself. I'm talking about publicly, right? And I know it's a lie. But to this day, like, I could meet people who will still tell me that lie about me. If I was in those thin skin, I mean, I'm thick skinned, I'd be trying to punch a whole lot of people in their face for talking stupid. Like you can't tell some people Hubert Alexander Ingram is not my father. Man, the first time that lie pop up was in 1997. That's over almost 30 years ago. And I just heard that lie the other day. Why do lies endure for such a long time? Why do we practice them so? You hear what I say, right? I don't practice lying, but I mean, I ain't a liar though. I did tell lies. Not in public life. I could tell you, I didn't tell no lies in public life. But in personal and private life, yeah, I tell some lies. Yeah. Why is it? Why do lies endure? And why do lies prevail? And don't lie to yourself about not lying. And there, you know, we have what we call little white lies and so forth and so forth, right? If you tell your child something that isn't true, like Santa exists or the tooth fairy exists, that's a lie. Okay, I'm not saying it's a vicious lie. I'm just saying it's a lie though, right? If your friend asks you for money and you say, listen, I can't do that, and you know you could do that, you don't want to do it, it might be difficult to do it, but the fact of the matter is you lied, right? You could be preacher, teacher, PM, media personality, it don't matter, right? If you say something that is not true and you know it not to be true, you have told a lie, right? I know, and we mustn't fool ourselves. We know when we're lying. Why? Why do lies endure? Say, yeah, no. Martin Luther King quoted, "No lie shall live forever," but he was quoting, I think, Carlyle or something, right? So he was not the originator of that quote. He was quoting in that quote where he says, William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. Carlyle was right. I think he was quoting where he said, no lie shall live forever, but he wasn't quoting it himself. So by the time it's halfway around the Bahamas, the truth is just putting on its shoes. But why do lies endure though? Truth usually hurts. So people would lie to cover up their own guilt or ill will towards others. Yeah, but that doesn't tell me why lies endure though. I mean, you know, you wouldn't believe this, right? But there's research around this issue of lying and why lies persist. There's issues like, anyone who's had children have had to deal with their children telling lies. Come on, like, y'all know that, right? I don't care how much that little saint you got sitting in your house, you think it's a little angel. They just tell lies, and they know they're lying, right? Who eat the cookie? Not me. First of all, let me tell me if you've ever had this experience in your house. You and your children are the only people in the house. Only two of them, three of them. You and them. Only two or three of them. Glass break in the house. Only you all were home. The glass break in the house. You ask, who break the glass? And you can't get an answer. Everybody say it ain't me. You know someone lying, right? How many people ever had that experience? Or am I the only one? Something got destroyed. Something got misplaced. Something got lost. And you ask every single soul in the house and nobody. So you know what I have to conclude? I just tell them, okay, so the ghost did it. There's a ghost living in our house. That's who did it. The ghost broke the plate. The ghost burned the thing. That's who did it. See, somebody say, yep. So we all get beaten. Yeah, exactly. Everybody get beaten because ain't nobody fessing up. You know it's one of them who did it. Why? Why does that happen? Why do lies persist? The answer is really quite profound and is an eye-opener for lots of us. What is the devil called in the scriptures? The father of lies. It's the deceiver. Lies are his way. Sometimes I hear people say, you're so rough. You talk to people this way and not the next thing. Jesus told the whole Jewish race that was coming up against him. Jesus said, listen, you are of your father, the devil. Listen, let me ask you all a question. Bishop Simeon Hall, my good and dear friend. If somebody walk up to you and tell you, say, your father is the devil, how many bishops wouldn't fight for them kind of words? If somebody tell you, say, your whole family, y'all are of the devil, your father is the devil, wouldn't that hurt your feelings? Jesus wasn't even checking. Jesus said, listen, you are of your father, the devil. Your daddy is a liar and the chief of liars. They're fighting words, right? But lies are told. People tell lies on you. People tell lies on other people. People tell lies on the country. People tell lies in the country, and they persist. I mean, the United States of America has been grappling with a lie now for almost 2+ years. And this lie has been tested in the courts. This lie has been tested in all kinds of places, and it still persists. I listen to lies in the Bahamas all the time. Lies. I listen to lies. Oh, the reason why the price in Nassau gone up of land is because of the repeal of the Immovable Properties Act. Oh, Chivago, you say 51% is the same as 49%. I hear that all the time. Some people say their lies persist because people don't want to face consequences. That's some of it. That is a component of the reason for sure. That's a component of the reason for sure. Monkey, where all of these texts come from all of a sudden? Others were there many more years than you. They don't talk about it like you. So, says Mr. Lang, why don't you stop reminding us that you were in politics? We all know you were there. Move on. Every day you have to remind us on your political years. You are, let me tell you something, you are crazy as hell. You, let me tell you, you are crazy as hell. You obviously do not listen to Z Live. And frankly, whenever I do remind of my participation in politics, it is to provide context. So first, second thing, don't tell me how to speak or share. That's why I'm on this show, and you're not, because people believe that I can share in a particular context. But you're crazy as hell. You're just a hater. That's the problem, right? I understand, man. I understand. Listen, I tell you what to do. Why would you waste your time on somebody who's remind you every day that he was in politics and you don't like it? I know you have other things you could do with yourself. Do you work? So do that. This text says there's an element of the truth and lack of trust. This person says, and by element, I mean one true fact that allows the listener to believe. This is what gossip mongers use, okay? Something like I saw Chicago on Shirley Street yesterday, and I hear he buying Thompson trading. Okay, I don't know. So let me tell you what some prognosticator, somebody say I must block them. Man, I wouldn't even, somebody told me one time ago, say the energy you take to block somebody is to give them far too much credit in your life. So, you know why lies persist? Because they work. That's why they persist, because they work. If you're trying to get out of trouble, a lot of times a lie will get you out, right? You don't want to pay the policy man. You tell him, I am not home. And what happens to the policy man here? I am not home. He leaves. It worked. Guess what? Guess who saw that it worked? The child you told to say it, right? Lies work. They may not last forever, but they work. You lie and tell people, oh, they're coming to get you, and they are only setting up these things to damage and destroy you, and people believe it, and they get your vote. They get your vote. Why? So it worked, right? You was goofing off from work, and your boss asked you how come you didn't come into work. You tell them, well, you know, you didn't feel too well. Your tummy was sick, so you slept in, and so forth and so forth. And the boss said, okay, fine. It worked. Why do lies last? Because they work. They get us sometimes the short and sometimes the long-term results that we seek. That's why they work. That's why they persist. If lies didn't work, if lies actually, let me ask you a question. If a lie instantaneously cut your ears off, how many people would lie? Tell me. If the minute you lied, your ears got cut off or your nose grew exceptionally long, how many people you think would be lying? Not very many. You know why lies last? You know why they persist? Because they work. They get us out of trouble. They get us into opportunity. They get us covered from something. Lies, that's why. They make money for us. And so people persist with lies because they work. Now, a lie does work in the short run. But I can tell you one thing, boy. Oh, the havoc they reap in the long run. As the saying goes, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. So this, somebody said, most lies provide a form of hope. Hope is the quintessential human delusion, simultaneously the source of our greatest strength and our greatest weakness. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you that that many lies provide people hope, and people want hope. That's true. People used to tell me that in politics. People used to say to me in politics, say, Mom, is it like you wouldn't even give people hope? That's what they used to say. But I don't think a lie, hope is the quintessential human delusion at all. I think genuine hope, which is knowing where you're going, having a plan to get there, and working the plan, that's having someone credible make a promise to you that gives you the hope. I don't think that is delusional at all. I mean, I was promised a scholarship by the Tomlinson Foundation, and I believed them, and I got my scholarship. It wasn't a delusion. Hope is hope. The Bible teaches us. Paul said that in the end, there are these three things: faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity, right? So I don't not diminish the value of hope, but yeah, people could use lies to give hope, that's for sure. Oh, we can do this for you, we can do that for you. How much you believe them depends on how much credibility you give them. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lanier, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll continue this question of why lies persist. We'll be back after this break.
To your house? Well, what are you waiting for? There's no better time to give your house a facelift than during the Colors Free promotion at CBS Bahamas. When you purchase Pride and Lambert paint from CBS, color is absolutely free. You heard it right. You don't get charged for mixing colors. Now you can paint the outside, the inside, and all the accent walls a different color and save big all at the same time. Who knows? You can use that extra cash to watch a movie, get some food, or even grab a coffee. Visit CBS Bahamas today in the Southwest Plaza, where color is free.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns like 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want in these last remaining moments to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Someone says lies are convenient and lull the intended victim into a sense of comfort for them to be further taken advantage of. I agree that is true. This text is relying, is it a lie? If you are asked for a dollar and you reply, no, I can't do that. One is not saying I have no money. He or she is simply saying what I have, I cannot give to you. That is not a lie. Wow. What happened, man? You get pricked just now. Eh? If you tell somebody, I can't do that, as in you have a dollar, but you can't give it to them. If it's an obligated dollar, yeah, I understand that. But if you can't do it because you won't do it, you say it ain't telling no lie. Okay, well, hey, And if you lay down at nights and that comforts you, no problem. So Mr. Lang from the Garden of Eden, God say you shall not surely die. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It wasn't quite as clear in your text, but I understand. I understand what you're saying. This text says, Mr. Lang, I will tell you this. I eat all the Chip Ahoy cookies in the house and throw the half bag of cookies in the garbage. Mommy asks who threw the cookies in the garbage. I said, my sister did it. And when I see her get beaten, I could not tell her the truth. That's so that slip it obey. See, your lie worked. It took you out of trouble and it put her in trouble. That's all I say. Lies persist because they work. That's been the truth. We tell other lies, or we misinform, or we don't understand when we say to children, young people, crime don't pay. Really? You know how many criminals got all kind of money on this, in this kind? I ain't talking about drug dealers alone. I ain't talking about criminal business people, you know, criminal preachers, criminal politicians. Got all that money who don't pay. And don't tell me, oh, but they just get found out. That some of them die with their money. Die, you know how many gangsters in the United States of America and elsewhere in the world, mobsters, even here in the Bahamas, kept all the money that they made in their criminal enterprise and still just died. In fact, some of them, when their funeral was preached, they somebody good child. So lies work. The only reason why lies also can hurt, can damage, can really cause problems, for sure. No question about it. There's no question. There's a ton of misfortune on planet Earth that have occurred because of lies. Wars have happened in our world because of lies. Thousands and millions of people have been killed. Genocides have happened because of lies. So lies can be abundantly devastating, for sure. But in the end, the truth of the matter is that the only way that lies don't persist in our own circumstances, if we have a moral objection internally, if within our own ethical systems, we just believe that we ought not. I believe there are lots of people who feel that way, who maybe because of their religious convictions have decided that, you know, this is not a practice I want. And even though they may from time to time find themselves there, maybe out of the desire not to hurt somebody they love, maybe out of the desire to comfort a child so that the child isn't afraid, or maybe because they don't want to offend a colleague, they might, as we say, twist the truth. But as a matter of malice and as a matter of deliberate, intentional deceiving or misleading of people, I think there are lots of people who don't want to go that direction. Says, hi, Shivago. I hope that you are well. I wanted to know if you are, somebody asking me to make an appearance to do something. Okay. And so, you know, we have a fair number of circumstances confronting us with FTX and other issues where one is going to have to wade through what is true and what is false. Right? The unfortunate thing about lies is when some people pick them up, especially if they have verbal diarrhea, then those lies get carried far and wide because everybody they meet, they haven't verified anything, they're going to spread the lie, right? And I think that we should recommit ourselves to upholding the truth. Because in some of the spaces and places where I see lies having full carriage, it is frightening what they are doing to human relations. Where black and white people, women and men, where people of different religious persuasion and of different political persuasion are tearing at each other's souls and doing so in a space where they have to live together on the basis of a lie. And that's the danger. That's the great danger, because once lying becomes like the currency of our transactions, trust becomes the victim of our relations. Okay? Because once we have been caught in our lies, we lose trust. And that then deteriorates everything. And it takes a whole lot of work to try to build back that trust, if in fact it can be built back ever. Sometimes it can't, right? But better to commit to avoiding that as opposed to having to rectify against it all the time. Why do lies persist? Why do they endure? Because they work in too many instances. They work to get us off. They work to get us on. They work to get us covered. They work to get us uncovered. They work to get us paid. They work to get us from paying. But that's not the way. And that human relationships. I want you to think about this for a moment. Like, suppose you go to the bank and they lie to you when it comes time to telling you what they can do for you, get you to make a payment of fees and whatever, and then they don't do it. What would become of you in that bank? Problem, right? Big problem. What if your insurance company lies to you, right? What if your wife lies to you, your husband lies to you when they go out to spend your money or what have you, right? What if your school lies to you? What if the pastor lies to you? Problems, right? It just don't work. So a little bit here, a little bit there, all adds up. And at the end of the day, we are just deteriorating the whole system. Texas in 2022, they don't call it a lie. They call it misinformation or misappropriation of funds or fake news, eh? See, our wives always lie when they go to... But I can't be joining you in that. You kind of cause problems for people on Canada. Anyways, this little talk I just had with you, Just consider it. Fair. Warning, maybe, or just like a early cautionary note, or something to elevate your discernment about the world in which you live. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivagula, I'm your host. So glad that you could join us here today. If all goes well, we will talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Y'all have a great evening. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.